This is Radio Kate here in the Quantum to Cosmos Festival's Physics Fantasia tent, just 15 minutes before the whole thing shuts up and done, finished. Lots of stuff still to see, and I've got Damien Pope, who is a Senior Manager of Scientific Outreach from the Perimeter Institute, so I guess you're kind of in charge of some of this stuff.
Yeah, definitely helping to help put it together. And what we're looking at now is the computer of the future. It's a quantum computer. It's just a baby version of it. But this works in a whole completely different way, a whole completely different paradigm to computer you have at home. Computer you have at home that you work with, email with, etc., is incredibly, incredibly powerful. But fundamentally, it only does one thing at once. It's kind of like a man. I'm very bad at multitasking. I just do one thing, then another thing. But the quantum computer, it's more like my girlfriend. It can do 10, 20, 30, potentially millions or billions of things at the same time. And if you could build a quantum computer with just 300 bits to it, just 300 zeros and ones, it could do more calculations than there are atoms in the known universe. And that maybe gives you kind of an insight into kind of the power of quantum computers. And maybe a couple of decades from now, we'll be able to go down to the local electronics store and buy a quantum computer.
But I mean, you know, that's a long way off, yeah. I mean, I didn't think these quantum computers even really existed, but you're telling me this thing beside us is actually a quantum computer? Are you for real?
Absolutely. It's a baby version of a quantum computer. It's a prototype. So what it's like is, back after World War II, the 1950s, you know, they had these ENIAC, this kind of room-sized computers that were giant vacuum tubes, everything like that. They were the first computers. We've come a long way since then. But this is basically the equivalent of one of those room-sized computers. So when people say that there are no quantum computers, what they mean is no big ones. So basically, this quantum computer, it can count to three. So it's not so impressive. But, I mean, the room-sized computers back in the 50s, they weren't so impressive. But, you know, the potential was there, the basis was there. And before you can run and before you can walk, you've got to crawl. And we're crawling with quantum computers, but one day we'll be running at full flight.
Okay, now I've been at this Quantum to Cosmos Festival for about 10 days now. I've been doing my homework, I've been learning, I've been going to all sorts of exciting lectures. Let me get this straight. So the difference between a classical computer and a quantum computer is a classical computer, you use bits, which use binary. There can be either a zero or a one. Yeah. And with a quantum computer, I don't understand this exactly how it works, but I'm going to accept that it's true. You have superposition. So you have a qubit instead of a bit. Mm-hmm. And instead of being a zero or a one, it can be a zero and a one kind of at the same time. Yeah. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. You've got it in one.
Woohoo, I learned something.
And you're in good company in not understanding why it's true. I mean, Einstein didn't understand why it's true. I don't understand. No one else at Perimeter Institute fundamentally does. That's an unsolved problem, that somehow the world, our world, the quantum world, pulls off that feat of being able to kind of do two things at the same time, be both a zero and one. You know, scientists have learned to accept that, and not only learned to sort of accept it, but to kind of harness and use that. So it's kind of, in a way, a little bit like a new force of nature that we don't fully understand. I mean, when we started using magnets and electricity, you know, back in the 1800s, people didn't understand how they worked fundamentally. They didn't have, you know, sophisticated theories, but they could use them. They could do stuff with them. They could exploit them, you know, steam and so forth. And that's really where we're at. And maybe actually by playing around and exploiting this kind of idea of being in two places at once or doing two things at once, we'll actually learn more about the fundamentals of our universe, and who knows where that might lead to.
But I mean, when you say you don't understand it, they have done tests. They do know. They're not just making this stuff up. It's not just, you know, it's not all theory. They have seen these superpositions. They have some kind of proof of this, or do they?
Absolutely. I mean, since the 1920s, you know, thousands upon thousands of experiments have been done with quantum mechanics, and they have, I mean, indirectly seen this effect, this superposition, two places at once, thousands and thousands of times. So that's very well established. So it's not just some.
It's not just magic.
No, it's not just magic. It's not some hypothetical thing. It's very, very real. But in terms of do we understand it inside out, you know, in our bones, so to speak? No, we know it. Universe does it. We don't know why.
Okay. So this computer that we've got next to us, you've said it can count to three. Well, I can count to three, so I'm not that impressed. So how far into the future is it going to be before you actually build a quantum computer that I might have, I don't know, in my home? I don't know, that I would be impressed with. It can count to more than three.
Well, I would say that, I mean, there are thousands of really, really smart people working on this now.
Well, name them. Who are the hotshots we should be looking at? Because, I mean, this is like pinnacle of kind of science at the moment in this field, you know, this is going to be a big thing. So who are the smart kids we've got to watch out for?
Well, you know, science, like a lot of other human endeavors, is really a team effort. And, you know, people's results build off each other's. You know, there is the occasional Einstein, the occasional Stephen Hawking that comes along. But it's not very sexy, but 99% of the progress that's made is just little increments, and people build on another and feed off another. And sort of pretty much any researcher in quantum computation is a hotshot. In my mind, at least. But I would say, I would predict that 40 years from now, when we're speaking, you'll be able to go and buy a quantum computer at, if not your local electronics store, a specialty electronics store. The progress is just being made. There are so many smart people. Technology is just getting better and better. But I don't know exactly what it will look like, exactly what it will be able to do. But now the fundamentals are there. It's just a matter of, it's just engineering. It's mere engineering at the moment. Incredibly, incredibly difficult engineering, because what you have to be able to do is manipulate and control the world at the level of a single atom. And now an atom, think of a grain of sand. That's about the smallest thing that you can imagine. See with your naked eye. An atom is a million times smaller than that. So it's incredible to get it lost. It's really difficult to move it around. At your will, but that is what these kind of these quantum computer people are trying to do, and succeeding better and better with every day.
Great, thanks very much.
Okay.